broadcasting live from our Fort Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Fort Recovery. You're listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, which is powered by Wayne Street Market in historic Fort Recovery. Without further ado, here's your host and co-hosts, Mr. Bob Sogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Hey, we're here Wednesday night, Bubba and Fee Show, and we're short one Bubba.
Yes.
Bubba got a little down on the weather, he said. Feeling a little rough, so I couldn't make it in tonight.
Oh, man, I don't like that. A lot of times he can't make it in because he's got Cooper obligations.
That's right. Sickness?
Yeah. No, we don't want that.
I don't like that at all.
No, he's...
Hey, we got a big night, though. We got the track coach, Christy Diller, going to come in and... tell us a little bit about how things are going with the track team. I think so far, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be doing really well.
I think so, too.
You know, you just keep seeing, well, we had a new personal record. We had,
PRs.
We just keep on doing good things. And it seems to be kind of up and down the whole guys, girls, individuals, relays. Some of the the field events,
we're gonna pick her brain and see what all's going on. So far so good, I think.
Well, I'm really glad that there's a pretty good amount of kids in that program.
Yeah.
Because you know, we just in some cases it does take away from the softball and baseball teams.
It does.
But overall, when you have kids that that might not be even interested or might not get to play much in those, and they can excel
there.
I just keep thinking back to one person in particular with Drew Mullenkamp.
Yeah,
he was a pretty good
pitcher.
Yeah, he came in and pitched a really good game for the Indians when he was a sophomore, and then he went to the track.
He off the track,
but you know, he would have been a very good pitcher for the Indians.
Yeah, he would have.
He went to the state track meet 4 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So,
another kid I remember was Jared Timmerman.
Yep,
good. I mean, really, really solid center fielder.
Yes. Fast as can be.
And he was, I mean, he'd bunt or hit all the time.
Yeah.
He's another one. I think he ended up, he was going to state quite a few times, too.
He did the track and he did the long, he did the sprints and sprints. The relays and long jump. He did everything and he was just good at
pretty
it.
Pretty good
and,
at all of it, yeah.
So that gives him a whole different way to excel.
Yeah.
And, you know, starting with Robbie Lefevre back however many years ago that was. Yeah, and his uncle Greg says, can we do the state track meet? I said,
what are you going to do?
You going to do that? Because I don't know
Greg
nothing about
job. It. He did a good job.
Yeah, he knew
that was
everything.
Fun.
He had a book full of stats.
Yeah.
And he would quote the stats while he's flipping through the thing trying to find the stat he's talking about. And he never missed down to the hundreds. And he was really good in that. And then one year he was obligated to go to a family wedding somewhere on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I was there by myself. Friday was a disaster. Friday was terrible. I fought through it.
Yeah.
But, and then on Saturday, a couple of the guys got done early and they came up and did the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that was Drew Mullenkamp and Owen Mormon.
Owen was good too.
I just turned the volume up and down. That's all I had to do. They knew exactly what they were talking about and weren't afraid to say it.
Yep,
and that really helped. And you know, we've
you can wing your way for a lot of it, but when you're there for the whole time, that's a lot of winging.
Yeah, and so I do already have a commitment from Drew and a couple other guys that they are going to do the Troy Regional.
Regional?
And maybe the state, but they're going to do the Troy Regional because he's assuming, and yeah, I'm sure correctly, that we're going to have a pretty good showing there.
I think we'd have some people.
Yeah, we have to do the local and the district and some of that. We're going to have, Mara's going to be there. I don't think so.
We've been pretty lucky and pretty blessed for the net program, because there just seems like there is some really good athletes.
Yes, and then like with Robbie, we had good athletes and we had a superstar. Mara's kind of that this year. High camp, Bob's son, can't even think of his name.
Trevor.
Yeah, those are kind of superstars. But yeah, there's all these other kids that are doing extremely well.
It'll be interesting to pick her brain.
May not be that one outstanding individual, but we have a 4x100 or 4x200 girls relay that's just light doing really well.
That's pretty neat.
And those aren't individuals, so we don't have that superstar, but they're kind of a superstar.
Pretty darn
that,
good.
You know, yeah, there's some, and there's a number of those that if you don't go to the track meets, or if you go and only watch your granddaughter or whatever it might be, or just, because they're 17 hours long. It takes a while.
Yeah, my daughter used to do the first thing, the high jump, and then she would do the last thing.
Oh.
And it was like, that's a long day. Luckily, I lived right by the track, too, because I could run home, grab something to eat, come back, and still
take a nap. Take a 2-hour nap and still get back for the last event.
So
because that makes it really tough on spectators.
It is.
But if you are there for the day, you also kind of get invested in some of those other kids. So, and that part's really good.
That's
so
kind of fun too.
So it's just, I'm so glad to see those, what I would call non-spectator sports like swimming, track, some other things like that.
Bowling.
That
a lot of that's coming now. Everybody's kind of jumping into that.
Yeah. And we have some outstanding kids
that.
Lucas Atchison, Bowler of the Year in the MAC.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
and we did well.
Yeah, when you start talking about the MAC, that's, I don't care what you're playing.
Yeah.
It's going to be good athletes. They're going to be great. I tell you what, let's take a break, come back, we'll talk a little baseball.
That'll be a good idea. Yeah. Back in just a minute or two.
Miss Wayne IGA's Big Meat and Deli Sale this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Check out these great deals in their deli. Eckrich Virginia ham, honey ham, and ham off the bone are all just $4.99 a pound. Eckrich bologna is only $2.99 a pound. Eckrich large summer sausage sticks are $9.99. And their Colby Jack, Pepper Jack, and Baby Swiss cheese are all only $4.99 a pound. Also, be sure to check out their specials in their meat department this weekend. This is a great time to stock up and save during the meat and deli sale this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Wayne IGA, the best meat market around.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime Monday through Friday here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Prom coming up on Friday. The Indians only have one more baseball game this week. That's tomorrow evening, hosting the 12-1 Minster Wildcats. We'll bring you that game live here on Fort Recovery Radio.
Our Indians are playing well right now, beating St. Henry 2-0 on Tuesday, so get out and help cheer them on again tomorrow night. But if you just can't get to the game in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. The Fort Recovery Athletic Department is giving you a great opportunity to save money on your Fort Recovery All Sports Passes. The Pass Blast will be from Monday, April 15th through Friday, April 26th, and will be only for the All Sports Passes. Adult All Sport Passes are only $100 during the Pass Blast, down from $150, and the Student All Sport Passes are half price at just $25. You can click on the order page by going to the Fort Recovery Athletics Facebook page, and they're also available at each of the school offices. Order your passes now and pick them up starting on August 13th. Regular price sales of sports passes will resume on August 12th at their regular prices. Go to the Fort Recovery Athletics Facebook page and fill out the order form between April 15th and April 26th. Don't miss this opportunity to get your all sports passes at the discounted price.
Sports Talk, Bubba and B.
Wednesday night with the owner-operator Neil Spencer.
No Bubba tonight.
No Bubba tonight. And myself, we're waiting on Christy Diller. She's going to roll in here probably around 8:30 or so.
Yep.
Baseball team last night, Neil.
Oh.
Unbelievable how good we were last night.
Yep.
Alex Deuce, when he gets it going, he's fun to watch, and he had it going last night.
Yeah, he fooled some pretty good hitters.
Yeah, I tell you what, when he got
a lot of them looking and a lot of them whiffing.
Yep. I mean, when he gets it going and he's got that submarine pitch kind of, it's just, yep. I mean, it's just for a right-hander, it's just impossible to hit.
And
you know, he had a tough outing against Coldwater, but he bounced back and
yeah.
That's the guy we've been waiting to see all year, you know.
Yeah.
And he's pitched four or five games already.
Yeah.
And he's really had, other than the Coldwater game, he's been pretty consistent. But last night he was on his
That
game.
Was a big, big game.
Yeah.
Stepped up big. 10 strikeouts. You know, it was just – and Bowers for St. Henry, after the first three batters, we had one hit.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fabulous too, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. Not as many strikeouts as Alex, but he, you know,
people don't realize you know, how good he pitched. Well, both of them pitched in the weather. The weather was terrible. I mean, that's got to be annoying, you know, when the ball's getting wet all the time. You got to dry it up and make sure you go.
Yep. They probably never, I don't think they ever went three pitches with the same baseball. They kept,
getting a good one in.
Getting new ones in. Our dugout, the St. Henry dugout had towels and they would they were always, and they had, I don't know how many kind of went out of play, but I think they always had somebody going in and or running out and grabbing them and getting them and making sure that there was a dry baseball for the pitcher. One of the times, I'm going to say about the fifth inning, Bowers was out on the mound and a ball went somewhere, and so he calls for another ball from our dugout. We threw it, and it came up just didn't quite get to the mound.
Oh, no.
And he caught it before it hit the ground, but he had to work to get it.
Yeah.
So the next time, like 30 seconds later, he calls for one, and he points at his glove.
I bought my glove this time.
And he started laughing. So can you hit my glove this time?
Any chance of getting the ball to me?
I'd love to see the laughing that was going on in our dugout when somebody didn't quite get it.
I bet
whoever that was that threw that got a lot of razzle.
Oh, I bet too. And I knew you'd text and said we were going to start early, trying to get it in before the rain. And actually, it did start raining, you know, part of the game, you know. But
It was a drizzle. Now, I talked to Jerry Kalp after the game, and he had been down at Versailles. His grandson runs track.
Yep.
And he said, I'm pretty sure they didn't get that game in, but they did. Versailles beat Coldwater.
Really?
Yeah, 4-0, I believe. I'd have to look and see. But Versailles did beat Coldwater. And right now, Minster has one loss. Versailles is the only unbeaten team.
And we got to finish with that.
In the MAC. Yeah, we have a game to finish. Well, we're in top of the fifth, two outs.
Yeah.
They're leading 4-0.
But
depending on when we play that game,
That could be
going to be completely different pitchers. Yeah. That game could end up 15-14.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, because if it's, you know, like a couple of the games we've had where all of a sudden nobody can throw a strike on either team.
Yeah, who knows?
You can get 30 more runs, or it could end up 4-0.
Yeah,
you just don't know.
Never know.
Yeah, it's kind of odd how that can go, especially when you have to make a part of a game.
Yeah, and it just kind of shows you too. The Mac, I think, it's pretty solid this year. I mean, I think it's going to be a shootout coming down here to the end. So,
well, I think everybody kind of thought St. Henry might make an undefeated run, and Coldwater, you kind of assume they probably will.
Yeah.
And Versailles and Minster are tearing them up.
Surprising, yeah. I think so, too.
Minster has two losses. They're 13-2, I think, or 12-2. I don't have it right in front of me, but
Coach Weiss is just—he's really good over there. He always has a great program, and they're always solid. They're fundamentally solid, that wins. That wins games.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it's going to depend on pitching.
Yeah,
and I'm assuming that they used their number one pitcher last night.
I would guess so. Yeah,
and we did, and. Sometimes your second or third pitcher does extremely well, and sometimes they just don't.
You never know.
It's hard to say. So,
interesting.
Minster lost 7-6 to Versailles last Thursday, they beat Delphi St. John's last night, and they're 14-2.
Yeah.
So they beat them 4-3 last night. So that was a close
game.
They're
having a heck of a season too.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
It'll be fun.
Come
tournament time, I'll take our shot with Alex Deuce showed up last night. Shows up.
Yeah.
We'll deal with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, it'll be fun.
Depending on how the timing goes, if their games are 2 days apart, that can make it a little tough. If they're three days apart or a week apart, because there'll be a spot in there, I think, where there's almost a week apart.
Yeah.
So Alex can just pitch, but you have to have that second pitcher.
When
you get to regionals.
I mean, we got Troy, between Troy and the Garkey boy and Leverett. You know,
you weren't there, but we saw Grizzy go down in the batter's box last week, and he looked like he's done for the season and maybe next football season.
Yeah,
and he's thinking he might play tomorrow.
He's ready to go already.
Yeah, he said, "Oh, that happens all the time." He was. That happened on Thursday. On Saturday, he was up in the press box. He had his sunglasses on, a cap on, and I thought, well, looks like Grizzy, but he can't be up here. There's no crutches.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of walking around there.
And
figured out it really was him. And then he took his coat off and stuff. And Jill, the trainer, was up there. She had him doing exercises up there. And
yeah.
He was barely limping.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
And that's good to hear.
And somebody said they talked to him yesterday, and he said,
"I think I can play."
He said, "I think I can play Thursday, but we'll probably wait till Monday."
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe even Tuesday. Monday, we have Wapakoneta.
Yeah.
We have six games next week. Monday,
next
Tuesday,
week.
Thursday, Friday, and a doubleheader with Roshi on Saturday.
To spring baseball.
Yeah. And the weather's going to be in the 70s every day.
Yep.
So the temperature will be good.
Yeah. You should be able to play next week.
There is some rain in the forecast, but if it's like, you know, yesterday, it was.
How about tomorrow? I haven't heard much.
Weather's
possibility. Weather's terrible. I mean, it's supposed to be cold. But.
Yeah. Going to be 60.
Yeah.
And maybe some wind, but it shouldn't be any rain.
Good.
Not enough to make any difference anyway. So.
Well, I just noticed our coach just walked in.
Yep.
Hop in here, Christy.
Yep, step right up and
we'll get you in here.
Yep.
Hi, guys.
How's it going, dear?
Good, thank you.
I'm glad you came in tonight.
Yeah, it worked out good.
Yeah. So how, track team, off to a pretty good start.
It's a wet start.
Wet start? Yeah, that's true. Like, everybody's going through that right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't usually get canceled for rain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a soggy one last night. But good start, though. Very good.
Good. Glad to hear that. Need anything? Good to go? So, Christy, how about, we'll just start out with your coaches.
I've got
all the same, or you got some new ones? Or?
No, we bring everybody back this year. We've been really lucky.
Ooh, perfect.
The last couple
Everybody's
years.
Everybody's been able to do it.
Yeah, we've kept, most of us have coached together now 4 years in a row. Yeah. So this year we made a slight change. In addition to myself, we also have Charlie Vasey as the co-head
Charlie?
Coach.
Yeah.
So he also assistant coaches football and does an awesome job.
Yeah.
So our assistant coaches, we have Shane Stein back.
Shane, good.
Matt Keese is our throws coach.
Yeah.
And then our junior high coaches are Bob Heikamp and Kim Niekamp. And they mm-hmm. are awesome. And of course, we're a small team, so everybody does everything. So,
about
you know, even though they're junior
yeah.
high coaches, you know, Bob's coaching pole vault, and Mrs. Niekamp is doing hurdles, and everybody's doing everything.
A little bit of everything.
It's kind of the way it works, yeah.
So with two coaches, I mean, is that enough? I mean, like a junior high level, do you have a lot of kids? Usually you do, don't you?
Right, which is why the high school coaches have to help with
it. Help out a little bit. That's how it works.
There's just so much going on in track that
yeah.
it's, yeah. So, no, two is definitely not enough. But, you know, for them to travel, that they the two of them. And
yeah.
I still have a kiddo in junior high, so I'm at most of the junior high meets as well. So pinch hit a little bit.
Help a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, it never hurts having a head coach down there.
Well,
I'm sure that makes kids feel good.
I feel like it's good to hopefully try and keep them around for when they get to me.
Yes, that's perfect. And they know what they're going to expect when they get there. So,
no surprises. Well,
that's good.
Junior high, a lot of potential?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers. I think we have around 30 junior high
Excellent.
Kids this yeah. year.
Some of those will probably kind of fall off into softball and baseball when they get into high school, because it's not conflicting in junior high, but by that time they may be like some of the guys that Harold and I were talking about, maybe off the air, I think, that, you know, they're really good baseball players, but
Drew
Mullenkamp was a very high potential baseball pitcher for the Indians, but he got to go to state and track several years.
Yeah,
and
so
that's huge.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of track is, I mean, it is a team sport, but you can do so many good things individually.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my opinion of junior high track is it's a little bit of junior high social hour, but if they're having fun and they remember that, and then mm-hmm. you know, on the off chance baseball or softball doesn't go the way they want it to, we're still here.
Yeah.
we'll take it back.
And I think Coach Young's the same way.
Yeah,
I think if somebody gets, well, I'm just not really doing very good in track, I'm gonna zip back.
Absolutely.
To baseball.
Absolutely, and I feel like the high school coach, spring coaches, we work pretty well together.
I just think the spring numbers are fabulous. I mean, for just about everything, it seems like we've got good participation.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I always hated when they quit, you know.
Well, it's really hard this time of year. And we did have, I mean, we lost a few seniors that didn't come back. Gosh darn, by the last 9 weeks of your senior year.
You're hanging on to that senior. Yeah, if you can hold on to seniors, they're probably really, really good. Yeah.
They're hanging on by a thread. And some of them are and some of them have been 2 and 3 sport athletes all through high school, and they're just toast by the time they get to the spring.
Yeah, yep.
And so, you know, obviously we hate to see that, but totally understand that.
I got to steal one of them. Reese Guggenbiller.
He
said he wasn't, when we were talking to the basketball seniors, he said he wasn't gonna do any spring sports.
We were shocked, and
yeah, really shocked, because you know he's an athlete.
Been pretty good. Yeah.
And so I while they were still here, and he was and just said something to him. I said, you want to run the computers and stuff for the baseball? He said, I'll think about it. And a couple of days later, he said, yep.
Cause he's good.
He couldn't stay away from sports. He just wasn't ready to commit to all the work.
I just feel like you said, like a senior.
Yeah.
When they have so much going on, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do next year.
Yeah.
And they, you know, people are telling them they got to know what they're going to do. Nobody knows what they're going to do.
Nobody knows. Yeah. So, no.
But, you know,
don't worry about that, seniors.
No, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But we're just blessed with really good kids. We just have good kids, period.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, hate to see that. But.
We talked about that a little bit before you got here, too. We've been blessed with some really great athletes that came through the track program, you know. Wow, you know, and I mean, it started a long time ago with you guys, you know, and our team that was undefeated, and you were fabulous when you ran, and I think that you know, kind of fed the program, and it just seems like it's been staying good for quite a few years now.
I hope so.
And I think that's a lot to say about you.
Well,
you've done
you.
A great job.
Thank
done
you.
A great job. Well, let's take a break, Neil. Come back, and we're going to find out all about your players. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking. But that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good about doing it. Ferris commercial grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more work done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Ferris, work hard, feel good.
Your home is your castle, but do you have a round table of knights to constantly guard your castle? Hi, I'm Eric Brackman with Fort Recovery Insurance with an even better solution. Let's put together a policy with Ohio Mutual Insurance Group, and we can provide you with a Simply Safe security system for free. I think it's better than a moat to guard your castle and no digging required. Call me for details, and let's keep your castle protected. FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
Appliance and Electronics have been selling and servicing GE appliances for over 84 years. Stop by 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland to browse the large selection of appliances and Radio Shack electronics. Strolls open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. until noon.
Iota's Eyes annual Brick Street Market is coming up on Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 2 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery. This will be a hometown craft and food fair featuring local merchants, vendors, crafters, and food trucks, and there will be a kids' corner featuring food and crafts from our younger vendors. If you're looking for some unique gifts and decor, this is where you want to be. Plus, our library will again be having their popular puppet show for the kids from 10 to noon. Also at our library, there will be an art show featuring works from our middle and high school students. And many of our merchants will be having spring specials during the Brick Street Market. You don't want to miss this fun event, the Cy Iota's Eyes Annual Brick Street Market, held right here in downtown Fort Recovery on Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 2. The Fort Recovery High School 2024 prom will be held this Friday at Romer's in St. Henry. The promenade will be held in the Fort Site Fieldhouse beginning at 6 o'clock. This year's King candidates are Sage Wendell, Riggs Toby, Lucas Acheson, Rex Leverett, and Drew Benn. And the Queen candidates are Chloe Bupp, Kenzie Garkey, Sage Luthold, Mara Pearson, and Ellie Will. The prom king and queen will be crowned during the promenade at the Fort Site Fieldhouse, which will be open to the public. Guests wishing to watch the promenade will need to enter through the commons. The doors will open at 5:15, and the promenade will begin at 6.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Yeah, talking to our head coach of track, a co-head coach. She told me today. I didn't know that. Charlie Vasey's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Christy Diller. Christy, how about your seniors? You got a nice class this year. We just kind of talked about it. You know how hard it is for a senior because they've probably played every sport for 3 years and actually three and a half years, and they're ready to be done. But it seems like you've done a great job of keeping a lot of them around.
We have a lot of seniors this year. We have a big class. We have a class of 11, and they're just top-notch kids. Let's see. I've got Natalie Brunswick,
mm-hmm.
Ellie Will, Kiana Matsuda, Paige Guggenbiller, Mara Pearson, Trevor Heikamp, Connor Kakaya, Austin Steinbrenner, Lucas Acheson, Michael Laux, and Christian Marshall. And I think almost all of them have been four-year.
Have been four-year. So.
And I think I remember reading every one of those names in the paper and on the Facebook about setting personal records and winning,
yeah.
Coming in first, second in meets. And they're all, you know, they're good.
This class is strong. Yeah.
Strong class.
Yeah. We, and, you know, we go through, you know, ebbs and flows. Last year, we only had four seniors, and only one of them was a four-year, you know, track kid the way through. And then, you know, now we got
a, man, that's got to make you class. Feel good.
Yeah. And this is this class of seniors is the first ones that I've had from all the way through. This is my fourth year head coaching track.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've, assistant coached and junior high coached before that, so I've had him the whole way through. But
you've had him seven.
Yeah. So I got a soft spot for all of them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, and what a nice class. I mean, that's a, and like Neil said, most of those kids, I mean, we've named them in football and some other sports too, and they're just been great. They've excelled in everything. It's been a lot of fun, I'm sure, for you to coach them.
Well, yeah, and then obviously they're just talented kids all around, so they're successful in the fall, they're successful in the winter, so it's fun to go to some of those events where I'm not coaching and get to see them excel, or in band, or you know, their academic band.
Well, like
and stuff.
Kiana, she's a perfect example.
Lord, what a talented kid.
She is a track person, and I think that might be her only sport, but we see her a lot of basketball games. She's her rendition of the national anthem is just
really, really good.
She's so talented.
Really, really good.
And just smiles all the time. She's a happy person, and just the first time I saw her, I had no idea who she was, just grinning like, and then I thought, well, I hadn't seen her at a game before, and all of a sudden she goes out and sings a national anthem. I think my eyes are as big as plates.
Well, you know, she is a great story because she didn't, she was not in track in junior high, and I believe her freshman year was her first year she came out, and, you know, I don't know that she really knew what she was getting herself into, to be honest. But somewhere along the way, somebody had her try hurdles, and holy cow, was she really good at it. And she is so fast between those hurdles. It's like she goes tearing through there.
I saw a picture on Facebook, I think. It might have been in the newspaper. I think it's on Facebook. Those are like 100-meter hurdles, right?
She does the 300.
300, okay. 300. So she was more than one hurdle ahead of the second place.
Is that right? She's really good.
She's good.
Wow.
And I would think like the 300 hurdles, you'd get so tired at the end trying to pick your legs up.
I mean,
I'd be laying on the ground.
My distance kids will probably argue this, but I think that's got to be one of the hardest events. I mean, 300, you're basically running it all out. It's almost a full lap, and then let's throw eight hurdles in there.
And then throw the hurdles in there, too. That's right.
See if you can stay on your feet. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that neat, though, just to have somebody like that they found their niche?
Yes, and they find something.
Pretty cool.
And that's cool to see.
It is. And how about, do you stress, like is it when they get their PRs or something, is that kind of a pump up thing for them? I'm sure.
I mean, we have almost 40 kids, but that in the MAC, that's probably a relatively small program.
Yeah.
But because we're a small program, I mean, we had a meet last night, and so the day after we have meet wrap up, and even though they don't love it, I make them sit down so they have to sit and listen while I talk. But I list every single kid's. And, you know, and we had a bunch of kids PR last night. And if it's not their lifetime best, it's a season best, or maybe they had a big time drop, or like our boys 4x2 had a really great race last night and just came out of nowhere to almost win. I mean, because we're a small program, we can take the time to call that out. And that's the awesome thing about track, is because sometimes, you know, and I we've talked about this a little off air, and I give the speech every year, and my kids laugh and roll their eyes probably when I give it. But I mean, when you look at that MAC meet, it's not freshmen and sophomores scoring at the MAC meet, on the guy's side, for sure. It's juniors and seniors. And so it's really hard, I think, as a freshman and a sophomore to, like, keep wanting to come back out and do it again. And every year it's like, you just need another year. I promise when you're a junior or senior, you're going to see it. And, and I gave that talk to these seniors 2 years ago, and I know they were like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's starting to pay off, and they're seeing the results and stuff, and so that's the fun part about it.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this in, like, football. I mean, if you put sophomores and freshmen out against them seniors, and they're going to get pounded.
They're going to get killed.
You know, and to have the mental strength to make it through there and say, if I can get through these 2 years, then I get to pound people, you know, and I think it's going to be the same thing for you.
Yeah, I hope that we literally just said that again tonight at practice, but you know, that's the beauty of it being, because it's, even though it is a team sport, they can go out and individually do things. And so even if the team as a whole isn't maybe winning every meet, and we're a small team, so we don't win every meet, but they can do, you know, like if one kid goes out and every meet they keep dropping time in the 100, you're getting better.
Yeah.
Like, Better is better. So,
and that's got to make them feel good.
Well, I hope so.
No, I would sure
I hope so. Which is why we.
I love the idea with your speech. And
well, I'm sure they roll their eyes and are just like, "Can we just start practice?" But I really think that's important because that's they need a little confidence.
I agree, and that's good on the psyche too.
Yeah,
you know,
I hope.
I mean, you would think anyhow. Yeah. You'd make them. That makes me feel good. And if I'm sitting beside you, I'm going to have her announce my name next time. I got to get a personal record or something.
I know. And sometimes I get it, you know, I get that wrong. Like today, our results came up that one of our shot putters had a season best, and I'm all excited. And Elisa had a season best today. She was like, "No, I did not." I was like, "Okay."
Sorry about that.
Like, did you throw farther? She was like, "No, I did not." I'm like, "Okay, well, it was a good throw. We started. We got some.
At least we got off to a good start, anyhow."
Positive energy here. It's fine.
Oh, I love that.
So, what are some of the teams and the individuals, what are their events?
Well,
one thing I'm kind of asking is are we getting a lot of field events? Over the years, we've had a lot of trouble getting field
that's a good question.
Participants, but also maybe talk about certain, maybe not all the teams, but some of the teams and some of the individuals that are doing certain events.
I hope the kids think this, but I feel like we've done a lot better job over the last couple of years of like putting a little bit more time and energy into the field events, because we've traditionally been strong in either in sprints or in distance. And
yeah.
and you're right, to like when we won MAC in 2019, we had to do it with field events because you can't do it all with just the running.
Like
so Coach Vasey coaches long jump. Coach Stein does high jump. Coach Keys does the throws. Coach Heikamp does pole vault. We don't have any high school pole vaulters this year, but our throws are really coming along. Obviously, our long jump with Mara and Connor are strong. Lucas Atchison does high jump for us. Caleb Smith, and Teresa Hipple, all of them score. The boys score almost every single meet. Our throwers have been knocking it out of the park. Sophomore Carson Follenkamp was, you know, top three in a meet with Anna and Fort Laramie last night.
Really?
Those are big kids.
Yeah,
that's big kids.
So Carly Niekamp has been killing it in disc and in shot. She had lifetime best in shot last night. We just have, Isaac Reisner has been, and Breaker Judy have both been stepping up in long jump this year, too. So it's kind of nice to see that. And that's a good observation, because it's kind of like, the running events are kind of like the sexy ones that everybody sees. And I always feel like the throwers are like the forgotten kids, because, you know, the throws are never
usually hide
in the
them
middle.
Off.
They're
always
off
to the side. You got to
want to go watch throws do it. But they've been doing great, and they're literally, they're out there working hard. They get better every single week.
Yeah. And I believe Matt Keese did those events when he was in high school, correct?
He was a senior, but at my first year coaching. So
right.
I didn't coach him. He was a thrower, but
I'm going to guess that he didn't have a great technique, but studied hard and tried to make himself better, and then decided to come back and help.
So he
to make other kids better.
He has a great story because he obviously played football for 4
years
too, and then he went on to play football at Trine and decided he was going to walk onto the track team, and ended up qualifying. I think I don't know, are they D2 or D3? I'm not sure, but he ended up qualifying for nationals within throws. Yeah, and then of course the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
But talk about somebody who got, you know, maybe he didn't have. He probably didn't have the greatest of background and technique with what we were able to give him in high school, but there's a kid who went, picked up a whole bunch of knowledge, and now we are so lucky to have him.
And got to a college with somebody that probably specializes in that.
Oh, for sure.
And one or two little things can make a huge difference. I remember, I think it was Drew Mullenkamp was telling me that when he was doing distance, I think it was his senior year, Shane Stein popped in and said, "Well, do this." I think he was. I don't remember what the thing was.
Some
but,
of you.
But he knocked 95 minutes off of his time, wasn't that? But you know, he knocked a huge amount off his time, but with one little thing that Shane Stein told him about technique. Just, you know, there, especially with throwing, there's, you know, there's a lot of things like that. Most of the field events have a technique thing that that if you can get that down, if you know what you're looking for and work on it, you can really change your numbers by quite a bit.
Well, and he, Coach Keese in particular, is just, he likes to teach, which is awesome, and that's really, you got to have the patience to take the time to do it. And then he is literally one of the most positive people I've ever met, and you know,
he is
that's really what I hope we have. I hope the kids like look back on that when they're done with us, that, you know, I tell them all the time, this is supposed to be your happy place. Like, when you get to the track, it doesn't matter how bad of a crappy day you had. Like, you leave that stuff at the gate, then you come in, and this is happy time. And if it's not happy time, that's okay. Then you can come talk to me about it, and we'll figure it out. But, you know, that should be the place they don't have to worry about anything. And they can just come, they can work hard, they're hanging out with their friends, and getting better.
Yeah.
And it's a byproduct.
Obviously, it's working because you have 40-some kids.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. So,
and I'm going to guess that every one of them is just top-notch at encouraging each other.
Well, we preach that a lot.
Yeah.
So, again, they're probably sick of hearing me say that. Like, you know, nobody needs to be in the tent. Go out and go find something. Something is always going on at track.
Yeah.
And it's easy, and it's pretty interesting. You know, if you haven't ever watched discus, like, go out there and it's like, holy cow, how are these guys doing
that?
You know, how are these girls throwing that far? It's pretty,
pretty
interesting.
Cool.
But, they're out there. I think teamwork-wise, this has been a good year for them.
Yeah. So, I know in the cross country, you run the kids all over town. Now, do they still, like in the track, do you keep them on a track, basically, and have them run track? Or get out and run around, too?
The sprinters stay on the track. My distance kids don't want to do a 20-minute run on the track, so you'll still see them popping around.
I kind of figured that.
Yeah,
if I was a distance guy, I don't want to see that same stuff all
the time. No, we're on the track, obviously, much more, because that's where we got a race. But, like today, they had a 15-minute shakeout run. You know, when they're in high school, they're allowed to run wherever they want in town, within reason.
Yeah.
But, and they've been with me long enough. I'm sure there is some degree of horsing around, and that's all good and well.
There always is.
It makes for good memories too. And, but they need to be out there.
Get to work
doing
at it.
Their run. They need to not be hiding at the visitor center.
Need popsicles. Stop at an IGA.
There's only a little bit of that. Maybe
I do remember whatever that was 30 years ago, when all of a sudden there appeared several just crazy kids running around town all over the place. Mm-hmm. Your brother was one of those, Matt. And I thought, what's wrong with these kids? Why are they running? And kind of found out a little later that there's a really good reason.
It's like a drug.
We're going to be really good.
And really good is not the word for it.
Yeah, really, really good.
I mean, 160 and zero or whatever it was, that's unbelievable. That is unbelievable that they won every meet that they were in.
It's crazy.
160 whatever. You know,
crazy.
Yeah. So I thought, maybe there's a reason they're all running around.
Going wide open.
Get it? Why are they running around all over the place?
So, Christy, I'm sure expectations is try to get back to state with a lot of the kids. And you feel like we're on pace?
Yeah, we are. And you know, it's hard for them to see that right now because we're right in the thick, just like the rest of the spring sports. We're like in the thick of it. So, we're not tapering yet. We're still doing everything. We got lots of meets. They're tired. There's a lot going on at school. So, I know that some of them probably feel like they're not quite where they want to be, but it all comes together in the end. It comes together in the end. But yeah, I feel pretty confident about it. Our goal is always to try to get as many kids as we can, as far as we can in tournament.
In the last several years, if I remember right, there's been not a like a huge surprise, but a surprise of these guys, these girls made it, or this particular person got there, not necessarily expecting that they would, but the conditions were just right and their mentality was just right that they went out and excelled at the district, at the regional, and there they are in Columbus.
They do some crazy things at regionals some year. It's my favorite meet of the
year. And by the way, Drew Mullenkamp has volunteered along with, I believe, Owen Mormon and somebody else, and they are going to make sure we broadcast the Troy regionals.
Oh, good. Well, hopefully we got something for them to
talk about. Fired up about and talk to some people.
They're 3 years out, 4 years out, whatever it is, and they're still excited about it.
Well, that makes me happy to think that they just enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
Obviously, I hope they enjoy. I think they enjoyed their time when they were here with us.
Right.
They just enjoy the sport.
And when we did it when they were in high school, they really appreciated it, and they know how much that the kids that are there will appreciate the fact that somebody cared to go do that.
Hit the nail on the head there, because I mean, it's track, it's not baseball, it's not softball, it's not near as popular, and that's okay. It's kind of like cross country, like the kids know that, but then when they see people put the effort in to come see them, they see that stuff. I mean, we don't have to talk about it, but it's just like if they see Mr. Steinbrenner or Ms. Potcutter at a meet, they notice that, and we make sure to thank them for coming.
Make sure they know. And you know, that's cool, because I'm sure that the guys that Neil's talking about, they know how fun it was at that regional and how cool that is when you make it.
And that's the thing. Not that state's not cool, but I mean, most of the kids that, and especially like their classes, mm-hmm. I would say that they would probably say two regionals was probably their favorite meet.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, you know, they show up. They show up for regionals.
Yeah. And I think out of the last 3 years, we weren't able to go do the state for some reason. I don't remember exactly what. I think might have been a baseball game on one of them. But anyway, we've done the state a number of times. Mm-hmm. And Harold and I were talking off the air. 1 year, Greg LaFever had to be at a wedding on the East Coast. And I tried to do it myself on a Friday. I had no idea what I was talking about. I worked through the thing on Friday. But on Saturday morning, Drew Mullenkamp and Owen Mormon had each finished their events early and came up and took over the whole thing. And they were outstanding, and they got to get some guys and girls to come up and talk to them. And I think that's a big thing, to be able to have some of them come up. You know, I know it doesn't always work out with events coming up and somebody going up and down the steps and being away from their teammates, but that's a really good thing, and I think that's why both of those guys want to go do that again, because they know they did a really good job, and they knew it was important for the participants that got to be talked about and talked to.
I think too that the track, you know, anytime, and it's kind of why we do this too, is we get the seniors in and talk to them, you know, and it's fun to get to know them, you know, and a lot of them are absolutely fantastic interviews. And I know we've done baseball games, you know, you have a big baseball game where you just won, and you know, you get to talk to somebody that had a great game and they're excited, and it's the same thing with the track, you know, when these kids get done, they'll get to talk to Owen and them, and I'm sure that's cool.
Well, you know, we Coach Reisner and I say this all the time in cross country, and we're like, we miss being on a team. Like you and you know, anybody that's been on that had a good experience with a team in high school misses that, because once you're out of high school, you don't have the opportunities for that. Yep. And so, you know, we especially thank them this year, and we're like, you know, this is like, we get to live vicariously through you and pretend we're on a team again, even though we're not on the team.
Absolutely.
But you know, and it's the same way in track too, you know, like I don't get to go out and I'm not fast anymore, but it's fun to be able to like see them do that and know, and you know what that feels like, and
absolutely.
it's fun to pretend to be on a team for
it's
a little
pretty
bit
cool. Well, Christy, we sure appreciate you coming in.
Thanks,
and good luck on the rest of the season, and we'll probably try to get you back in maybe before the tournament starts.
Yeah, and at least have the seniors come in and
yeah, we'll get the seniors talk seniors and, to come in and talk, and that'd be fun.
Yep. Well,
thanks for coming in, dude.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
We'll be right back here. Neil, let's pay a couple bills, and we'll talk some more baseball.
They say you reap what you sow. Well, that depends on your seedbed. Due to the late harvest here in Ohio and Indiana, a lot of field work is left to be done. Hull Brothers in Ford Recovery has a full line of Case IH equipment, including new and used tractors, planting and tillage tools, to help you make up for lost time. Stop by and visit with our experienced sales team for attractive pricing on all the tools you need to put and keep you in the field. We know farmers work around the weather. Let your Case IH dealer in Ford Recovery work for you.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274.
Hello, I'm Harold Thiele, owner of Hastings Auto Sales and Ford Recovery. Spring is in the air, and it's time to get your car maintenance done. This includes testing your battery, checking all fluid levels, and testing your air conditioning. We will also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights for your worry-free springtime travels. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales, 419-375-4617, for all your automotive needs.
What an incredible episode of the podcast we have in store. And especially on an election year, this is going to be very insightful.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
I just want to start by saying an incredible event is happening in Fort Recovery, Ohio, during the world-famous Harvest Jubilee.
Oh, yes, the second year of the Battleground Shootout Dodgeball Tournament. I heard last year went so great, they're doing it again.
Dodgeball tournament?
Yes. It's incredibly embarrassing you aren't aware. It's the 18-plus dodgeball tournament happening Saturday, June 15th. Get your team of 6 to 8 and sign up at FortRecoveryJubilee.com/dodgeball.
There will even be a youth tournament the Friday before. More information on that and other updates will be posted on the Battleground Shootout Dodgeball Tournament Facebook event page.
So go follow that.
You guys didn't just come here to promote a dodgeball tournament in Ohio, did you?
Yes.
Correcto mundo.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
We've been still kind of talking to Christy.
Yeah, Christy's so, just trying to get
so
out of
I
here.
So I think we got back on the air about without much dead air time. But,
not too bad.
But that's okay.
Not too bad.
We were having a nice talk with Christy and talking about... you know, she was talking about her niece breaking
a couple of her records and how
she thinks about that, and some people don't like their records being broken, and other people are just so thrilled to have somebody come along and beat their records. So, you know, there's all kinds of little things about that. But
the neat thing about those records, I just think it's cool, is your name's still around school.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the new baseball facility with all the records in the middle there.
Yep.
You know, and you go into the game 10, 15 minutes before the game, and there's 35 people standing around looking at all the records and seeing what stuff was. And,
yep.
And it's pretty cool if your name's on there.
Yes. You know,
that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it is. And if somebody else beats it, I guess they take a black marker and mark it out.
Yeah, scratch you out.
But, you know, just... things like that are, and I was saying off the air that I think it was Robbie that said, you know, I said something to him, I think just in a conversation somewhere, might even been after he's out of high school. I said, it has to feel good to have these records that probably will never be broken. And he said something to the effect of, I hope they're broken tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he
understands.
He understands that you know, he was somebody special. And he humbly knew that. But he also wanted to be an inspiration to people that He wasn't big, strong, anything. You know, he wasn't this physical specimen that you're going, oh, my God, he must be incredible. He was a guy.
Yep.
And he was.
He could flat out run.
And he could run.
He could
and you know, some people can run really well when they're little kids in the third, fourth, fifth grade, and then they lose it, or some of them aren't so good.
Yeah.
And then turn out being really good. Now, I don't know about fast, but Dan Shainline from 45 years ago.
He was like the one guy that I remember running all over town.
Yeah.
He was all by himself.
Yeah.
He ran all over town.
And he was, I think when he was in junior high, he was kind of chubby.
Oh, yeah?
And he decided, you know, when he started his growth spurt and that kind of thing, he was trying to lose some weight, I think.
Yeah.
I, this is just me thinking. But he started running, and then he found out he liked it, and he was really
good. He found he was really good at it.
Really good. And, you know, he had no idea. He wouldn't run in junior high.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He wasn't a runner. He was just another guy.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, wasn't a physical specimen by any means.
By any means.
And, you know, it's just when kids find something that they're pretty good at,
it's kind of fun.
Especially even if you don't set any records, even if you're not, if you don't make the all MAC, even if you don't go to state, if you went and like Coach Reisner was saying, or Coach Diller was saying, just out there having fun with your friends. And making memories.
Making memories, that's a big thing. You know?
That's huge.
The neat thing about the with track two is kind of cool is you can, I mean, like, you can have a personal record every night, you know, and that's, you know, it's great if your team can win, but even if in that situation, you know, you come in second or whatever, but you set your personal record, that's kind of cool. You know, I'm getting better.
Yes.
You know, I think that'd be a great teaching tool.
Yes.
Like she said, she sets them down before they take off for practice and says, I want to congratulate everybody that got their personal records this past meet, you know, which is, that's pretty awesome. You know, it's in baseball, you know, if we get beat, you know, I would still try to go up to the kids that had great games.
Yeah.
You know, let them know, man.
Or had a great play.
What a great game.
Or a really great at bat where they
excited,
just,
you know?
Took 13 pitches from that pitcher to you know, those little things like.
I mean, it's stuff like that you don't think of, but I still to this day, I remember Mitch Stommen against Coldwater taking 11 pitches on a leadoff at bat against Coldwater.
And the game was over.
And he got on.
Batter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did finally find out that he did walk.
He walked. Yeah, he did walk.
But I didn't remember what he did. But that pitcher, I don't remember if it was Dylan or Derek Toby, had pitched a 42-pitch complete game the game before.
Yeah.
His game before.
And he went 11 pitches.
11 pitches on the first batter, and the game was over. We won that game on a leadoff walk.
Yeah, that was a pretty good leadership by Mitch. But
and his
pretty cool.
His job was to make him throw a bunch of pitches, and he probably, in my head, he probably fouled a couple off.
Oh, he did.
That he knew he could have hit, but his job was to make that guy throw pitches.
I gotta get in.
And he, you know, 7 pitches is about it.
Yeah, it used to be a battle. I mean, that was what we. Back on them teams, that was something we always stressed, you know, is make them throw pitches because we may not get them in the first inning, or the second inning, or third inning, but in the fifth and the sixth inning.
Yep. And last Tuesday, Coldwater did that with Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, you know, they took a bunch of pitches and made him throw a lot of pitches.
Yeah. I mean, and they knew he was struggling and they don't help. You know, that's I said something last Wednesday, you know, about that team is so disciplined they don't chase that high pitch where a lot of teams do.
Right. And if he had been on like he was last night, they would have been swinging.
Oh, they'd had swing, because
they're going to swing. So they can do either one. And with that that game you're talking about with Mitchell, Stommen,
it was just something I'll never forget that.
No, me either.
And you know, there's a lot of people like, you remember it. won it bad, you know? it was a cold water game that we hadn't beaten cold water in 36 years or 37 years.
And there's 1,700 people at that game. That was the one.
People at that game, and this kid came out and had the greatest start of a game I've ever seen.
Yep. And it was a huge battle between a great batter and a great pitcher. And, you know,
that neither one was going to give in.
Yeah. The 1,700 people were there because Mike Mormon for Roger Tangeman had a collection of food, and Fort Recovery, we had somebody that was going through something.
We were getting
I don't know what
money.
It was.
We were
so
money too,
there were they had. They had to extend the between half innings so they could read all the names of the people that won all these prizes that these merchants were giving away. I mean, it was, and when I got there late and I heard them saying there's 1,800 people there, and I thought that's not possible. I parked at the hospital and walked to the game. And
so you knew it was possible.
And in the stands, they have four sections, and each one of those holds 2,500 people, or 250 people.
Yeah.
I kind of counted a little bit. And then there's people two or three deep down the third baseline, and probably 100 people in the outfield, and probably 20 cars parked on the road watching.
It's pretty cool.
Right field. That was incredible.
Unforgettable game.
Kyle Schreier caught the last out, and but just about every summer I'll see him, and he'll say, "I was listening to the game today." He said, "Now the last several years he'll just skip to the ninth inning, the seventh inning." I mean,
Bubba and Calvi's call was,
Bubba, come on, go get it, Kyle, get it. And then Bubba screamed.
It really was.
It was that was a great game,
that was neat.
That, you know, we were doing really well that year and had done well the year before, but that game put us on the map. They were number one in Division Three. We were number one in Division Four, I think.
We beat the
best year in, year out team around.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that was a great game. And Saturday, we had another great game and a great dedication.
Yes.
I felt bad. I never would have missed, but I know Tommy wouldn't have cared. I went down and seen my nephew play.
If you're going to a baseball game to watch your nephew play, he is not going to be mad.
Tommy wouldn't have been mad at me, by any means, but I did miss not being there because I got to coach with Tommy for 11 years, and I seen some of the stories and stuff that they brought out. A lot of fun. Gosh, there was just – I had a lot of fun with Tommy, and it was funny, you know, when they talked about the bunting. That was his baby, you know. That was his baby. We every day, you know, and he would have little games for him to play. So they get the bunts in the right spots, and it would make it fun. And you could tell the kids just loved him. I mean, they just loved him. And
You know how you can tell that they loved him? They teased the hell out of him.
Oh, absolutely, just teased the heck out of him, and he'd yell and stuff. That time he couldn't hear. He couldn't hear many of them.
And sometimes it was selective hearing. He'd act like he didn't hear.
Probably did hear a few times. I'm not listening to him. But I heard it was a great, great deal, and I think that's really cool that they honored him. He's well deserving.
Yeah, and Coach Kalp said a couple things. Coach Eink said a couple things, and then his wife Beth.
Yeah.
Had, holding one of the grandkids, she had a little bit of stuff prepared, and she said, and also this I don't remember what the little boy's name was, 2 years old, said, and not really sure why, but he loves baseball. Something like that.
Yeah,
and he said,
imagine that.
And she said, and right now he's saying in my ear, he's looking over at the Fort Recovery dugout and going, ball, ball, ball.
Yeah, he wants to play. That is pretty awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. And I believe one of the, maybe it's, somebody was talking about that, actually it was Beth, talking that his grandfather was the one that gave him the love for baseball.
I heard that too. That's pretty cool.
Beth is such an awesome person.
That little boy's grandpa.
Yeah.
He's going to remember him. I guarantee he's going to remember grandpa. So.
Yep.
Pretty awesome. Well, Neil, I don't have anything else. You got anything?
Well, we got six games in five days next week.
And we actually have good weather coming.
Yes, it's going to be 70s next week. There might be a little rain here and there. We have Wapakoneta on Monday. That's a 5:30 start.
There or home?
That's home.
That's a home. Okay.
And then we're at New Knoxville on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, we're at New Bremen.
Yep.
Friday, we're at Anna.
Yep.
And Saturday, our traditional first Saturday in May doubleheader with Rushi.
Yeah.
And that is at home.
Good deal.
This year, so.
So we got a lot of ball games going to be at home.
Got six games next week and three at home, three away, I believe.
Yeah. Let's get the old Indians on a roll here. Yeah. We got a win last night, a big win, and maybe that'll catapult us over Minster. Maybe we'll get them tomorrow.
Yeah, we know we can play with anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we beat Evan Bowers, and he's a really good pitcher.
He's really good.
And he did really well. He won hit us after the first three batters.
Ain't that some?
And had maybe two or three walks and a few some strikeouts. He didn't have as many as Alex. Alex had 10, but he's a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
And they were undefeated coming in the MAC, and they needed to win that game.
Oh,
now
absolutely.
It's just Versailles is only undefeated team in the MAC now. So St. Henry has a loss. Coldwater lost 4-0 against Versailles, and Versailles is 3 wins, no losses, and we have a half a game that we have to play with them. Let's see, what else do they have left? Versailles has New Bremen first week of the season. They were postponed, and Parkway was postponed, and then ours was suspended. So their first three games, they didn't have an MAC game until the fourth game, scheduled game of the season, scheduled MAC game. So
lovely weather.
They beat Minster 7-6. They beat Duffus St. John 7-2, and Coldwater 4-0 last night. So they're playing well. We beat St. Henry. We played terrible against Coldwater in a that didn't go well.
Yeah.
But we can play with anybody if we have things going our way. We're okay.
We got to not make mistakes on defense.
Yeah, we did a lot of that too against
Coldwater. Make them hitters. Challenge them. You got to go after.
We didn't last night, and we did against Coldwater. And however that goes is how the game's going to go, I think.
Yep. So, you're exactly right.
Yep. So I think
me and Calpy will be here tomorrow at home.
All right.
Should be. And
Bubba, if he's still feeling bad, definitely won't even drive by in his golf cart.
But yep. We'll see if Bubba gets
by. Yeah, I hope he can.
Hopefully he's feeling better.
I hope so, too. We don't need him being ill.
Appreciate Christy coming in tonight. I always enjoy having the coaches come in and talk to him.
Yeah, and especially in those what I call off sports, non-spectator sports.
Yeah.
That not that you can't go and watch a track meet, but it's
just hard for us too with the baseball stuff going on.
Yeah, we can't be in both. And when you get in those distance things, those are 15 minutes. And what do you say?
What do you talk about for 15 minutes?
Well,
yeah.
Travis is ahead. Well, some other guy's catching him.
Now he's behind. Oh, now he's ahead again.
Yeah. And you can't do that for 15 minutes.
We still got 20 minutes to go. Yeah. We're all right.
But what we do at the district, the Troy Regional, I should say, and we may do some other ones too, depending on how things go. But the Troy Regional, they're definitely want to do.
We're going to do that.
We can talk to people in between. We can those guys can talk about some things going on, and it's just really good that those guys that were involved in it
want to come back and do it.
Drew Mullen came up to me a month ago and said, "I want to do that."
That'd be awesome.
I said,
I'm like you. You're probably thinking, that'd be great.
Yeah, I don't know what
I'm... For me to go out there and do it, it's probably not going to be a lot of excitement.
When I do it, it's only slightly worse than not having anybody there.
But the thing about it is you still announce. Like, if Grandma and Grandpa's at home, did my kid, how did he do? Well, he finished third, or he finished second, or hey, he won.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah, at least we can say that.
Yeah, it's only slightly better than having nothing.
Yeah, we can tell
I do
how they did it. We don't know how they did it, but this is the finals.
Yeah,
this is what
but when Drew and Owen, and I believe they're going to get a young man from over at Minster, maybe.
Yeah.
That's going to help them. They know what they're talking about, so they
Absolutely.
Can they can actually tell you things
going
that are
on
going
on.
Where I can kind of say what I thought I saw, and it
Which
isn't
is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Those guys are. It's just I love that there's people that want to do
help
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just on that same note, if anybody does want to, if you can find somebody, I need somebody to set up equipment and announce girls softball. We can do softball and baseball at the same time.
Same
we have two
time.
Streams.
Yep.
We can do it. If there's somebody out there, let us know.
Yeah.
Whether you can and only do a game here and there, just home games,
you
just
can't do anything wrong. Either.
Just Tuesday
Don't
games,
matter.
Whatever it is. Anything is better than nothing. If we can get somebody that is interested in doing that.
Especially if you're going to be there anyhow.
Yeah, it's not difficult.
Sit down and do it and enjoy it.
It's not difficult to set stuff up and
it does not have to be professional.
No.
All you got to do is listen to us and know that.
Yeah. And as I said before, whatever you do is better than nothing.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, Neil, I appreciate it. And our sponsor tonight, the Wayne
IGA
has got a big meat sale I seen this
meat
week.
Meat and deli sale, yep.
Got a big meat and deli sale. So come on up and spend some money in there.
They have flyers in the store. You can look on their Facebook page. A lot of really good deals. There's some $8.99 steaks, $7.99 steaks that are usually $12, $13, $14, $15 bucks.
It's going to be beautiful out, so get the girls out.
Yeah.
Get the girls out, buy some meat, and come on and have a great weekend.
Yep.
All right. Ferber Neil, the owner-operator, and myself, Big Fee. Bubba, we'll see you next week. Hopefully you're feeling better.
Yep.
And we'll see y'all next week.
You are listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians.